Preacher Smith chopped away at his golf ball in the sand trap. Finally, it flew out into the trap on the other side of the green. Will some layman please utter some appropriate words? But at least Preacher Smith guarded his own tongue. Regardless of the cursedness of any situation, we humans aren't required to utter unsavory words about it. Such words don't fix anything, though they might make us feel better momentarily. Words are truly powerful things. The Bible is full of words, holy words, not just letters printed on paper. Holy words, God's words, are actually alive, living. This is why the Bible, all by itself, just a book, is outlawed in so many places all over the world. One could ask, what are people so afraid of? How many people, even children, both here and abroad, have been suspended or even jailed for the crime of bringing a Bible to school? It just keeps happening. Why are many people grossed out by the Bible? The answer, whether they realize it or not, is that it's God's word, and they and the systems they work in are in full-out rebellion against him, so they don't want to even see one. On the day of Pentecost, Shavuot in Hebrew, meaning the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest, this day was the very day that Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But years later, some Samalkitans had grown tired of the miraculous manna being given them by God. Pining for the food they'd eaten in Egypt, conveniently forgetting all their sorrow and woe at the time, they badger Moses for real meat. Their words were in reality rejecting God and his provision in favor of this world for something from this world they thought would be better. Well, they came to literally choke on their words and died. Fast forward nearly 1,500 years, and on the same day of Pentecost, God again gave his people his word in response to their praise and prayer. And it came not as words engraved on stone, but an actual living, breathing fire and spoken words which everyone could hear. So just what happened that day? The church became the church. The word tells us that 120 followers of Christ Jesus had gathered together in one place and were praying, praising, and worshiping God, not complaining. The Holy Spirit came upon them, reversing the curse of the Tower of Babel when God had to confuse humanity's single language into many different tongues. But this day also reversed the curse of Mount Sinai, when so many of the people had proven themselves faithless despite having seen miracle after miracle after miracle in their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. For just hours later on this day, they rebelled against God and worshipped a cast metal bull calf made of gold. But now, within minutes, by Holy Spirit's power, Peter preached history's first Christian sermon. Then what happened? Some 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and became the first new members of the Church of Jesus Christ. In less than one day, the first megachurch was born, going from 120 members to over 3,000. In literally hours. This is what happens when Holy Spirit unleashes his power. When I was in seminary, a small group of us joined what became the largest peaceful peace march in New York City. It was a bright, warm, and sunny Saturday, June 12, 1982. Upwards of 750,000 people, some say even over 1 million, assembled and marched in central Manhattan against war and nuclear arms. There were many radical groups there, but also many Catholics, Buddhists, etc. Our group of less than a dozen brave souls went up to express our hopes for peace, but as Christians. We needed a banner. But what? I suggested displaying Zechariah 4:6, which says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And so this is what we carried on a long cloth banner in front of us. We never made it in time to join the big rally because we were close to the end of the over 3 miles of marchers. But it didn't matter. We proclaimed the word of the Lord in the midst of communists, rabid anti-war anarchists, protesters, the parents and grandparents of today's Antifa, BLM, sexually confused peoples, and the self-declared oppressed. Folks, I sense in my spirit that America and the world has just entered a new phase in these end times. For this phase, we must change our expectations about our society and institutions. We all grew up depending on our institutions and our officials. For this period, hopefully short, those days are over. Before they return, we'll be going through very difficult times. I knew a family of Assyrian Christians who'd fled Syria in the early days of conflict there. I recall that Arab Spring that was supposed to bring the Arabs freedom and liberty, all orchestrated and instigated by our illegitimate President Obama and the people behind the scenes pulling strings. They're still around now with Biden, and things are worse than ever, but I digress. This Syrian family told me that under Hafez al-Assad, there was peace for religious minorities, such as these ancient Christians, tracing their faith back to the original apostles. Remember Paul being accosted by the Lord on the road to Damascus, Syria? Anyway, the family spoke of the good old days when if anyone messed with a Christian village, people would just pick up the phone and the national police would arrive in minutes to protect them. But after the Civil War began, all those governmental institutions broke down. No one came, and millions fled for their lives, many to America. Does this sound vaguely familiar today? We can call the police, assuming our 911 call is even answered. Then, assuming the police arrive at all, it could be hours, even days later. Our society is now breaking down. Corruption is being revealed. We cannot rely on society anymore for this phase. We must rely on God's Spirit to keep us safe and secure, not any politicians or governments. Though Missouri has a more reasonable government, in many ways it's fighting for its own survival. They need our prayers too. Pray Holy Spirit's power to fall upon us as he did on Pentecost. Draw closer to God keep drawing closer. Be real about it. He's more real than your next breath. Don't worry about what to expect. God knows you, and He truly does love you, regardless. Seek Jesus, and you'll find protection, provision, and rest for your souls. Say these things aloud, for they'll create reality. Do not verbalize your fears. Speak of faith and God's promises. So let's praise God, the blessed Holy Spirit. If you know this well-known contemporary song, please join in, especially in the final chorus, which repeats three times. This is Revelation Song by Jenny Lee Riddle from Revelation 4, first released in 2002.
Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water.
So
a marvelous mystery. With all.